Good afternoon. What a great day, great afternoon, and a great life that we're living in the message of God's nature and character, His grace. This is the Grace Hour coming to you live from Baltimore, Maryland. We're here, located right in the heart of the city and Greater Grace World Outreach, and we have a radio program that reaches around the world and the internet and all else that's going on. And we have a great privilege to actually, the privilege to be on the air, to be able to propagate and promote the gospel of grace and the Lord Jesus Christ himself, which is a great, great opportunity for us. And great and effectual doors opened unto me, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16:8-9. As a matter of fact, he spoke a lot about open doors. Every single journey was an open door of grace. Acts 14:26, the first missionary journey, and then 2 Corinthians 2:12, the second missionary journey, and then Acts 19, we hear about the third missionary journey and the great and effectual door from 1 Corinthians 16:8-9. So God gives the grace. The man of God takes the journey. God gives the grace. He lives by faith, having access to this grace. And then on it goes. And the journeys began. Certainly Paul was on a journey, actually, in Acts chapter 9, when he was stopped on the road to Damascus. So actually, his Christianity began on a journey. And I like how he says in 2 Corinthians 11:26, in journeyings often. What we want to concentrate today on for our listening audience, and you'll be able to connect with us after this message by email, by I think the internet for sure, live anyway, and any opportunity that you have to connect with us. We'd love to hear from you today. It's always great when we can have response from the audience that's listening, and then we have this conversation that takes place, this fellowship that goes on, this opportunity for us to really get to know what you're thinking and what the Word of God has to say as we meditate together upon it. So as we think about Paul's messages, as we've been concentrating on them this week, this is the message in Acts chapter 26. And this is a message. You know, he has spoken a number of times and given his thought patterns to people in authority, kings and priests and people in authority, the high priest, the Sanhedrin. We can see him continually standing before these people as a witness. And I want us to read in Acts chapter 26 and just think about this statement that he makes. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. This is in verse 19. But declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea and then to the Gentiles or the nations, better translation, and that they should repent, change their thinking, turn to God, and that the works befitting repentance or a change would take place. And so Paul makes a really amazing statement here. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. And I wonder, can you and I, at times, can churches be disobedient to the heavenly vision? Well, yes, in this aspect, translating the word disobedient, he's saying, you could not persuade me out of the heavenly vision. The word that's used there is really to be persuaded away. Paul was a persuaded man. What does it mean to be persuaded? To be persuaded means to be mentally won over, that my mind has been won over by the heavenly vision, that God spoke to me. And really, this is how important it is for us as believers when we come to the Bible or we're under preaching and teaching, we study the Bible, we listen, we communicate with people, that I would be persuaded by that which comes from God, being absolutely persuaded, mentally won over. There's people that are somewhat persuaded. There's people that are 90% persuaded. We could be 98% persuaded, but we're not fully persuaded. 2 Timothy chapter 1, that's a great portion of Scripture. I think it's in verses 12 through 19. You can read the whole thing. But Paul talked about his purpose and his call, which was given him in grace before the world began. And he was saying in that portion of Scripture that you cannot persuade me otherwise. I will not be persuaded otherwise out of what God has given me. And really, this is so key. What could talk you out? I heard a man of God say to me one time, what could stop you? What could talk you out? What could take you away from the purpose and the call and the vision that God has given you? And I had to think that one through for a while, because I'm sure that as we are sinners saved by grace, and we can be people who can really think incorrectly at times, that there could be situations, yet we don't want that to be. We want to be absolutely persuaded by what God has done in our lives and what he's given us as his calling and his purpose. You know, the word call, the word klesis or kaleo, however you say it, there's a number of different ways. We are called into God's purpose. What does the word purpose mean? It means where I've been placed. So God is continually calling me into the place where I have been placed. He's calling me into the work, the finished work, my position, calling me into my position. So I have a calling and a purpose. And Paul had a calling and a purpose. And by the way, there would be much opposition and much persecution, much misunderstanding at times. There were people could be there, even Christians who might be making questions and comments about what actually he was doing to maybe test him. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 says, try the spirit to find out if it be of God. So God would certainly allow people to test him, just like you and I. God has given us a call, and God has given us a purpose. God has brought us to a local church. God has brought us into salvation. And there will be testing times and difficult times that will come where there will be opposition. Didn't Jesus test the enemy right away? He gets baptized, and we hear the voice of the Father. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, John 3, 16 and 17. And immediately he is brought into the wilderness, led by the Spirit into the wilderness. We heard a message about that recently by Pastor Schaller. He's brought into the wilderness, led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted or tested by the devil. And by the way, he tested him spirit, soul, and body. He was brought into wilderness for that very reason. So as much as you may not, or I may not like it, there's going to be tests in our lives. There's going to be situations that will occur to find out whether I am a person that is persuaded, mentally won over. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 also talks about being persuaded by God's love. Being persuaded by his word, being persuaded by his love, being persuaded by his grace, being persuaded by the finished work, being persuaded by his mercy, being persuaded by his faith, being persuaded by the call and the purpose and the vision. And so he says, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. And it started. And I was thinking about this. Why did Paul give his testimony seven times? Seven times. This is amazing. And there was a question asked, why did Paul begin his message by confessing all of his sins? Maybe he wanted people to understand that he wasn't in this place of being right up there, hierarchy, way above God and all of that, you know, and whatnot. But he was going to show them, guess what? I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm a sinner saved by grace. He says that in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. He says that he was the chief of sinners. In 1 Timothy 1, 11 through 14, chief of sinners. And it's amazing. He said he was the least of the apostles. 1 Corinthians 15, 8 through 10. So he's showing them and identifying with people that, listen, you can look at me and maybe you would say, oh boy, no one could be like that. No. Every single person is a sinner that is saved by grace. I mean, Christians are sinners saved by grace. Sin and sinners are out there. So he's been persuaded by God. He's being persuaded by God. And so he gives his testimony, I believe, seven times. Acts chapter 9, he talks about his conversion. Acts chapter 22, he talks about his conversion. Acts chapter 26, he talks about his conversion. He says the same thing three times. Not the same thing exactly, but he is saying before kings and those in authority, Jewish leaders, the Herods and the Felixes and the Festuses and the King Agrippa. He's telling them what happened to him Acts 9, Acts 22, and Acts 26. Three times in the book of Acts. Then he speaks about it in Philippians chapter 1, about his conversion. In 1 Corinthians 15, he talks about his conversion, how he was the least of the apostles, but he got grace from God. 1 Timothy chapter 1, he talks about his conversion. Galatians chapter 1, he talks about his conversion. Seven times he's talking about what God had done in his life, this amazing conversion that took place on the road to Damascus. So that's how he is testifying and showing them that God can change a man. Even a person who Saul, highly intellectual, highly zealous, and highly evil. Think about that. Highly intellectual, highly zealous, and very evil. So evil that he would persecute the church to foreign cities. This is amazing. This is what takes place, persecuting the church to foreign cities even. And wow, it's going after them. And all of a sudden, in a moment of time, isn't that great? Ezra 9:8 talks about, and for a brief moment, grace was given us from the Lord our God. And in a moment of time, God came in. God spoke. God was there. God helped him. God intervened. In a moment of time, this is what happened. All of a sudden, he's there. Who are you, Lord? Oh, by the way, he knew it was somebody more than a human being. Who are you, Lord? I love this, how simple this is. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. In other words, let's bring it out really right away. Here's where I am, and here's where you are. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. I'm Jesus, and you're the persecutor. You know what? But I want you to rise up. It will be told you what you shall do. Right away, maybe Saul would be thinking at that particular time in his life, he's going to be dead by God right there. Right there. You know, he's persecuting the church in Jerusalem, and he's on his way to foreign cities, and he's going to be persecuting some more. Well, and here comes the holy God. Here comes the righteous, the perfect God. Here comes the God who is attached to his body, the head and the body. And boy, am I going to get it now. No, what you're going to get is the Holy Spirit. And what you're going to get is an incredible conversion that takes place that will make you a preacher. That's amazing. It'll make you an amazing preacher. And not only did this make him a preacher, but he had the boldness of a preacher. That was a question that was asked to us. What about Paul's boldness? How can we apply God's boldness? You know what the word boldness means? It means I'm free. I have great freedom. I think if people are not bold, it's because they don't understand the freedom and the victory that God has given them, who they are in Christ and what God has done in their lives. And so Paul would begin to go forward. And by the way, he would face all kinds of people that would really come against him all the time. Yet he had boldness in God. In Ephesians 6, 18 and 19 and 20, it talks about he wanted to speak boldly, with freedom, with power, with God's ability. So as we close this devotional, it's amazing what has taken place here. He finds himself in front of Agrippa. And God told him, even in Acts chapter 9, I'm going to bring you before kings and those in authority. You're going to come before people in authority. And I want you to be free, be open, be loving, but be bold. And proclaim this message. You're going to bring it before Caesar and Felix and Festus and everyone, the Sanhedrin itself, the Jewish hierarchy. And you're going to be brought before Caesar, and you're going to come to Rome. And it'll be for the purpose of bringing this gospel. You see, somebody might have looked at the prison and the boat and all that took place. You know, oh my God, poor Paul, look what happened to him. It was God's plan. God was placing him in front of these people, in front of the Gentiles, nation to nation. So we thank you. We pray that you would bless our time on the air today. We thank you for the grace of God and the message of grace and being persuaded. I am persuaded. He was persuaded. He was very much a persuaded man of God who discipled other people that would become persuaded. Yes, we can be weak. Yes, we can be frail. Yes, we can be maybe in our hearts not wanting to do it, but God comes in and mentally wins us over through the Spirit and the word of grace. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, friends, you can join us here on the Grace Hour. We're so glad to be able to be with you today. The phone lines will be open. They are open, actually. 1-800-338-7060 is the toll-free number. And then you can call 410-483-3700. And all of our friends that are on Facebook or YouTube, you can, of course, post your questions. We will respond to them as they show up. Persuaded.
Persuaded.
Wow.
Pletho. You know, it's true. Or pleroporia in the Greek.
In the Greek.
I'm persuaded. Mm-hmm. You're persuaded, right? When we're mentally won over, there's nothing that can shake us out of these things. A lot of times people change their mind about what God has for their life because I wonder if they've really been persuaded.
Mm-hmm.
Have they been mentally won over? Maybe there's a 90%. Maybe it's 85. Maybe it's 98. I am persuaded. I was absolutely persuaded. You know how many people tried to talk me out of going to Africa?
Well, you yourself.
Me myself is one. I remember getting a call from somebody that was a pastor from a foreign country, and he said to me this. It was at 12 o'clock at night, which was unusual. And he said, I don't think you should go to Africa. I think our church and our mission field in Europe is going to be the missionary emphasis behind Africa. And I just, you know what? I never answered. I never said hello. I took the phone and put it down and said, get behind me, Satan. And it was a believer, a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even
mm-hmm.
answer it. I mm-hmm. just knew it was from the enemy. Persuaded. The Palmieris were persuaded. They went to Africa.
Amen.
And look what happened. Look what happened in Togo, in Benin, in Burkina Faso, in Ivory Coast, and on it goes. Because your family went. He's our producer here. His family went. His father and his mother and his two sisters, they went to Africa, and they were persuaded. Even when there was a coup. You know what a coup is?
C-O-U-P.
Huh? Yeah, C-O-U-P. The coup, they ended up coming. I think you came to my house in Ghana. But you didn't go home. No, you weren't going home. They were what?
Persuaded.
I never met people like that. I thought to myself, wow, who are these people? And I remember standing in front of the Hotel California in Lomé, Togo. And I remember somebody saying to me, it was your dad. He said to me, and what a man of God he was. He said to me, well, I don't know. Visiting here is great, but I don't know. I don't know. Do you think God wants me to live here? I said, yeah, but God will persuade you. And God did persuade him. And he came with his wife and his children, and they did one of the most amazing works. That is a memorial today, and it will be a memorial forever, what took place there. I mean, I was just in Togo. What month is it? August. I was in there in July. And we had like 1,200 people at the convention. It was phenomenal. It was phenomenal. All of his disciples are there. All of his spiritual children, you know.
Wow.
And really, there's no talking about West Africa without talking about the Palmieri family.
You know, when we were together in Togo, it was amazing.
That's right.
To
you
see
were
that
there.
School there. That,
you were there.
Yes, yes. And, you know, the persuasive factor. And interesting that you're coming out with this because I just read this morning out of 1 Kings chapter 8, and Solomon is talking to the Lord about the promises that were given to David, his dad.
Yeah.
And he says this word, he says, and now, O God, and this is in verse 26, let your word, I pray thee, be verified.
Mm-hmm.
And I got caught, I said, verified. Well, it is the principle of persuasion. But it's an amazing thing that, you know, so Solomon is not questioning God. He's not questioning that God won't do what the Lord told David. But the fact that he wanted that confirmed in his own heart and he wanted to go forward, and like what you were saying earlier, how that I could be 90% persuaded or 98% persuaded. But I think the reality is this, that the goal, the objective of God ordering our steps is so that we get settled and rooted and grounded and persuaded, regardless of what things may in fact happen in the life.
I was talking to somebody this morning, Pastor Steve Murillo. We were talking about Philadelphia, and he's just so persuaded about Philadelphia. By the way, if you're out there and you're interested in being a part of a church plant in Philadelphia, contact the missions office or contact Pastor Steve Merlo. I won't give his number on the air unless he comes on and gives it.
No, they could call 1-800-338-7060 and get forwarded to that.
We're persuaded. Mm. He's persuaded. And even I've tested him to find out how persuaded.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah, you have to do that. You know, Pastor Steve did that to me. Are you sure? Are you sure? Yeah, I was going to Italy.
Yes, you were.
You know what I would be right now? I would be 425 pounds because of eating too much pizza. I would.
Well, now, wait
pizza,
a minute.
I would be pizza fat.
That's decent pizza over there.
I know
there
it's
now.
Decent pizza, but it's not like Sicily.
Oh, okay.
It's a little bit different.
I see.
So, anyway, but being persuaded is so key. And then you just trust God for what's going to take place, the timing of it, right? All the things that God will do in time. But mentally won over. I thought about Jonathan Goforth at 70 years old. Started a new mission field in Manchuria.
Well, that's
he said,
coming right
I'm,
up.
I'm going.
Okay.
It's coming up for you?
Yeah.
I went by that 5 years ago. anyway.
I'm persuaded that you're ahead of the line there. That's good.
Yes. I think that 70 years old, he takes on a new mission field. And this is how he goes into Manchuria. He has one eye.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Kind of sounds like me a little bit. I got one eye that works well. He had a wife that was a cripple. An invalid,
mm-hmm.
and he had a 16-year-old boy with him. That was the mission team.
Okay.
Imagine that. And guess what? They say that he had 1,000 converts in Manchuria, more than he had in his previous 40 years. And that's amazing, isn't it?
Well, you know, when we persuaded. Think of how, you know, what's God's timetable for us, it's not. It's he's living in eternity. We're living in time.
Yes.
But the idea of being persuaded, like so when you were mentioning about how that the Holy Spirit led or actually sent Jesus into the wilderness to be tested of the devil right after he had the great declaration of his messianic office. That, you know, when we think of, you know, the will of God or the plan of God as being peaches and cream or anything along those lines, pizza or ravioli, it is the fact that that can lead us into challenges and testings so that, in effect, we say, you know, after all that has happened, I believe God.
It should be even as he told me.
That's exactly right, as it was told me.
Do we have some communications here? I can't really read them.
Yeah, Pastor Ben from
Tawiya.
Yes, he is. Amazing moments in God's word with the gathering of the saints. It was phenomenal in Togo just last month with Pastor Sibeli and the fellowship.
Yeah, we had a convention in the Ivory Coast, a convention in Bolgatanga in the Sahara Desert region of North Ghana, and then a great conference in Togo.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. I think Pastor Ronaldo is on his way back soon from Southern Africa. He visited, I think, Southern Africa and East Africa. I'm not exactly sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But Pastor Ronaldo is a persuaded person.
He
a persuaded
is,
man.
Yes.
Don't you think that, like, some people could be very gifted, but they're not persuaded. God can't use them.
Mm.
But some people might not. I mean, sometimes people say, oh, you're so gifted. No. It's not about how gifted. It's how persuaded.
Mm.
Dr. Stevens was persuaded about church planting and a vision for all the world. You know, about a heavenly vision, about greater grace being in all the world. He's one man from Maine and started off very young, very poor, had not much of anything, wasn't much up there in Maine either.
Sure, that's
you know?
Right. Yeah.
And yeah, but what set him apart was he was what? Persuaded.
Yeah.
Persuaded. Pastor Schaller is a man of God who's persuaded. Pastor Wright's persuaded. We're mentally won over. That's the key. It's not, well, what kind of gifts do you have, you know, and all that? And what's your backing, provision-wise, finances, you know? No. Come on. That stuff will come. You become a persuaded person, or you let God persuade you, mentally win you over. All the rest of that's going to come.
Amen.
I really believe
Matthew
that.
6:33.
Some people start off trying to get all that stuff first.
Yep.
You know, the provision, the this, the that, you know, and all that. No. You get persuaded, and here's how you do it. Come to Bible school. We start in the last week of August. Okay,
that's right.
This is almost the last week of August. Come to Bible school. Bible school wins your mind over.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's a lot of people that have zeal and they want to do a work for God.
Wow.
But they haven't had their mind won over. So what they will do will be according to their own mind, and it might be a hit or miss thing. But Bible school wins the mind over.
Yes.
Mentally won over. You take classes. You go to Bible school. You say, all those years? Oh, really? Why don't you read the book of Acts and read Acts chapter 9? And Paul was in Tarsus for 3 years being taught day and night by Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Bible school, just read Deuteronomy chapter 6. The Jews went to Bible. They were trained. They say 12 years.
Okay.
It would be a 12-year training process for a rabbi.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? What do you mean? 3 whole years? Look at all the years I'm going to miss serving God. Wait a minute. You can serve God while you're in Bible school. Absolutely.
Here they can,
come
yes.
to Bible school.
Come on.
Make a decision. You're out there, and you don't know what to do with your life. I'm giving you something to do with your life. Be persuaded to win, to be won over by God's mind.
And you know, it's interesting that that's what Bible school will do, regardless of what you think your calling may be.
Sure.
Because it's not a matter like, oh, I'm called to do this, so that's why I get trained. No, get trained in how to think with God. And then when the call comes or the specific application comes, like you were saying, already persuaded over. 1-800-338-7060 is our toll-free number, friends. You can dial in and join us on the broadcast, or 410-483-3700. And let's go to our phones and Pastor Duke up in York, PA. God bless you, sir. You're on the Grace Hour.
Be persuaded.
Hey, I'm persuaded. I want a shirt like the one you're wearing.
I'll get you one, I promise.
Yeah,
I don't know if it'll be the same color. I don't know if it'll be the same color. But by the way, you know how the best way to get these kind of shirts is? Best way to get these kind of shirts is, is go to Africa.
Yeah, I want to go to Africa. I'm a holy roller now in my wheelchair. I'm a holy roller.
I've seen people go like that too. Don't put it out of your mind. You never know what God will do.
Amen.
All right, Pastor.
Hey, I had this thought. It's amazing your message today, Pastor Schiavelli, because this morning when I woke up and before Grace Hour, the Holy Spirit was kept putting this on my heart, being reminded, right? And I was amazed how many times in the scriptures, especially in the Peter's epistles, where he talks about putting us in remembrance, right?
Well, that's the same thing as being persuaded, memory. Memory is bringing back something that you heard, right? So to remember, over and over again, you bring it back to remembrance. And what's that doing, Pastor Duke? You know well, it's persuading us. It's mentally won over. You know, I remember when I got saved January 6, 1976, immediately I got a Bible, went on the streets and started talking to people about Christ. I didn't even know what I was talking about. I didn't even know what born again meant. I never heard that. I just knew that God changed me. And I said, I want to be a soul winner. Since 1976, that's 24, 34, 40, 46 years.
Mm.
And we go out Fridays and Saturdays and whatnot. And really, sometimes people go and they do things in their emotions, read the Bible and do it for a while, then they stop. Evangelize, do it for a while and stop. You know, pray, do it for a while and stop. Because you know what happens? They're not persuaded. They're emotionally touched, maybe for a period of time. But when I'm mentally won over, there's no quit there. Mm-hmm. There's no quit there.
Can't help but speak of the things that we have seen and heard and received from Him. Amen.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so good.
I'm persuaded.
Yep.
Yeah, I was persuaded. I remember even playing sports. I decided that I wasn't going to just play basketball, even though we had very good teams, that I was going to use it as an opportunity to evangelize. And then here's the funny thing. This is interesting. I was playing for a church team. And the church team, nobody wanted to do that. Nobody wanted to evangelize. They said, no, too confrontational and whatnot. Mm-hmm. You know what I did? I quit the church team and went to play for my old team with all the unsaved guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we met in the championship game. The church team against my old team. And guess what? I think I scored the winning basket in that game.
No,
and man, were they not happy with
Montezuma's
me. But I was like, I was persuaded. What's wrong? We're supposed to be not just a basketball team, but we're supposed to witness the gospel to these people on the court and in the locker room and wherever else. Come on. I always used to witness to this one referee named Saul. I never forget him.
Okay.
He was a strong Jewish guy, you know.
Okay.
And he goes, not you again. Not you again. And then I went by and I would meet him at his car. I wait for him when he's coming out after his shower as a referee. And I say, hi, Saul. It's me, Paul. And you can become Paul, too. Saul can become Paul, you know.
Oh, no.
And that was very interesting. So thank you, Pastor Duke, for being persuaded in young, when I was young, when I am older, when I'm sick, when I'm healthy, you know, when I'm rich or when I'm poor, when I'm rejected or I'm accepted,
mm-hmm.
being persuaded takes care of all that.
Remember this song that Dr. Stevens used to really love, and it's called Remind Me, and it says, the chorus goes like this, roll back the curtain of memory now and then, show me where you brought me from and where I could have been.
Huh.
Remember, I'm human, and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord.
Wow. Amen.
Wow, that's a classic, Pastor Duke.
Amen.
Yeah, Dr. Stevens used to love that song. When he was sick in his bed before he went home, I went with my guitar, and I sang some of these songs to him while he was in bed.
Wow.
It was incredible. I'll never forget it.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Duke.
Okay. Thank you, Pastor Duke. 1-800-338-7060 is the toll-free number.
I can't see it.
And it's okay.
Can you?
410-483. When I lean in, yeah, I could use that too, but I mean, not today.
Nope.
Here's something interesting about the persuasiveness of God. And, you know, Romans talks about, do I despise the long-suffering of God that leads me or leads a man to change the way that he thinks? And I would consider that, you know, the Jonathan Goforth story, you know, as far as, you know, being at 70, maybe, you know, he would think that those other years were just not very productive or not very fruitful, and maybe they weren't comparatively, but he was persuaded that God was going to do something. And after that, the 70 years, you know, kicks in and he goes forward. It's an amazing thing how that God can wait and wait and wait until the right time when I'm persuaded and I can agree with him.
I'd like to get a call from India. I wonder if anybody in India is up right now. It's about 10:30 at night. But I was thinking about the Scudders today, about being persuaded. You ever hear the Scudders?
Yeah, that's
John
a great
Scudder
story.
And Ida Scudder. And they went to India as missionaries. And the Scudders had 10 children. And 70 Scudders became missionaries to India. Can you imagine
that? Dynasty.
And they did 1,000 years of mission service in India. Mm. One family.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking about like what one person can do today.
Amen.
Like one persuaded individual. What can happen? Pastor Stevens was persuaded up in that little place in Maine.
Mm-hmm.
And because he was persuaded, here we are. You know, and yes, it's God. Of course, we understand that. You know, we're not hyper-spiritual. It's God that does that. God brings in his mind. He does the persuading. He gives the Holy Spirit. He gives the purpose. He gives the call. He does the work. We understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But looking for somebody, remember Isaiah 6?
Yes.
Isaiah got persuaded that he was going to be used by God. Jeremiah 1, he was persuaded.
Mm.
Ezra chapter 1, he was persuaded to go back with Nehemiah to Jerusalem. 900-mile journey through enemy territory to a broken city.
Oh,
you
got to
be persuaded.
Yes. Yep.
Esther was persuaded. Mordecai, nobody else was persuaded but him. He was persuaded. All the Jews were like, oh, no. We can't go against this empire. He was persuaded.
Mm.
And, you know, sometimes we think we need this big army of whatnot, you know. And yes, having a good church and a lot of people is very important. But if one man is persuaded, it's amazing what one man can do. Look at D.L. Moody. He was persuaded, and they say his ministry without technology won a million souls in his meetings.
Yes.
One man, a million souls brought to Christ. He was what?
Persuaded.
I am persuaded. And this is so important. I'm going to go before the king. My name is Esther. I'm persuaded that God's going to use this and I'm going to get delivered.
Mm.
Pastor Mati Servio, there's a man who's persuaded.
Still is.
Still is.
Yes.
He's young.
One of the questions from our producer, often we struggle with talking to unbelievers because we are afraid of how they will respond emotionally when we talk about our faith objectively. I'm putting these words in, but how can we apply Paul's boldness from his message to King Agrippa in our everyday lives? I think, you know, it's not being intimidated by a person's position. So the King Agrippa is no different, okay, than any other individual in you know, in terms of the gospel. Why would he not be a candidate to receive the grace of God?
Just a man. Yeah. He's another man. That's all.
Like, so, you know, fear not the face of clay.
Yeah. Sometimes we look at these people, and they're no different than anybody, any regular common person, the common people heard him gladly in the street. So Jesus was not intimidated by any of that. And I think that's important. It's just a person, and they need God.
They do.
And you might not even know it, but they've been praying and asking, if there's a God, show yourself to me.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
Who really knows what's going on? I remember when I went to, he was then a candidate for the president of the United States, Michael Dukakis. You remember that?
Yeah, Mike. Yeah,
he was from Massachusetts, a governor. And I went to his office with a Greek Bible that Thames got me in Greece. When I went to Greece, we got a Greek Bible, and we went together to visit him. And it was amazing, the openness. I talked with the man who was had the highest position in the country of Liberia. And he said to me, so what is the mission? Why have you come to Liberia? I said, to tell you about Christ.
Wow.
You know, and really, he was very open. Said, thank you. You know, you're more concerned for my soul than you are for what Liberia can do for you. You know? No, that was amazing.
Isn't that a great statement?
Yeah, it was.
That's a great statement. Well, you know, Ananias in Acts chapter 9, you know, for the fact that he was going to be asked of God to go down to the street called Straight, lay his hands on Saul of Tarsus.
Yeah.
And so this he would get his sight back. And you'd have to think that, you know what, if it occurred that maybe he thought that that was the will of God, that he would stay blind. And why would God ask him to go and, you know, put this man's eyesight back and restore this man's eyesight, except for the fact that God had a plan for a man who's going to be persuaded. And he also found Ananias to be persuaded to be obedient for that one task, you know, and then think of all the repercussions that has happened since that event. And it's tremendous.
Yeah, he was a little bit afraid of Ananias. Remember, he said, I know this man.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Him? Him?
Absolutely.
I don't know about that. God had to persuade him.
Amen.
Mentally won over.
Yes.
By the way, I believe any addiction, you can be delivered from any addiction if you're mentally won over in that area, and you study it and you get a new mind. Let this mind be in you. A drug addiction, an alcoholic addiction, a pornographic addiction, a gambling addiction, you name any addiction. I think if you get God's mindset on these areas, that God will absolutely deliver a person. That they have a new mind, a new mind. They're persuaded, mentally won over. And then they don't give a place to the projections that come. And I don't care what the addiction is, you know. And I know that there's a lot of people out there that have all kinds of programs and ideas, spend millions and millions of dollars in trying to help addicts. But do they ever use the Bible to say, let's be mentally won over? We have a call.
Yes, it's from Mumbai, India, just as you requested. Okay. Pastor Binu, God bless you. You're on the Grace Hour.
Yes, Pastor Binu.
Yes,
hello?
Pastor Shibali.
Okay.
You answered my initiation.
You're listening to that Grace Hour, so I thought to be obedient to your call.
Wow. I can't wait to be with you. I'll be with you in October. And that's going to be a great time.
Yeah, we are looking forward to that.
Don't forget, I'm persuaded about ministering to the body there. First of all, ministering and having a relationship with Jesus Christ, ministering to the body, seeing souls get won, disciples made, and getting peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
In
India. I got one every day. They bring me one every day. Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. There's something about that.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell you the secret yet, Pastor Wright. Eventually.
Okay.
Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches are such a key.
I gotta look that one up.
And cheap too. By the way, a couple pieces of bread and a little peanut butter. You know how much you can eat for? Absolutely, just about nothing.
Every day.
Every day it will be guaranteed, Pastor. It will be served out at you.
That's my present. Yes, and it's going to be a great time. You want to give the dates? You want to give the dates? We're in Mumbai.
Yeah, 20th of October till the 26th.
Okay, 6 days, beautiful.
26 or 27, yeah.
Yep.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to be awesome. And, we'll be starting off in Nepal and going from Nepal to, I think we spent a day or two in the beginning landing in Mumbai, then going to Nepal, then Nepal to Bangalore, then Bangalore back to Mumbai, and then from Mumbai to London, England, and from London, England back to the States.
Okay.
A lot of airplane trips.
I love it.
Yep. I'm persuaded.
That's it.
Yep.
Yeah, persuaded. Yes, that's correct. I was just thinking about in 1 Corinthians 16, it says that a great and effective door is open, but there are many adversaries.
Yes.
But Paul was persuaded to go to Ephesus and to preach the word.
He was,
and
yes.
And planting a church.
Imagine what
that's
he
amazing.
Said, and there are many adversaries.
Mm.
Every open door, every open door brings an adversary. But you know what? The interesting thing about the word adversary, antidikimei, it means the adversary lies at the door. Just walk over him. Just walk over the adversary.
Yeah.
Step on his head on the way through, you know? No, I think that's just me applying it. But it's very interesting, you know? The adversary is just there, waiting. But really, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And so, yes, there's going to be adversaries. When I think about taking those long trips, you know, airports and immigration and long airplane flights and 8 hours and then another 12 hours or 10 hours and then, you know, coming in and all that.
And then
I say, get behind me, travel situations. No, it's just amazing. And just realizing, don't look at that part of it. Look at he who's beautiful for situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it'll be great to be there. I know I'll be able to see your amazing wife's face and your daughter's face.
And a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yes, thanks, Pastor. Looking forward.
God bless. Have a great day. God bless you.
God bless you, Pastor Benu. Yes, 1-800-338-7060 is our toll-free number. And you can also, if you're on a podcast, Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Audible, and Stitcher.
You got all that down?
Well, as long as I can read it. It's nice big print, by the way. But, you know, it's just amazing that the opportunities that we have to be on these various outlets. And that means then that more people are hearing Grace Hour than ever before. Wow. And we're persuaded. You know, Pastor Stevens was persuaded back when it was telephone time that he was going to use the radio to minister to unseen individuals, thousands and thousands of individuals. And, you know, you were one of them. You heard the voice.
Yeah.
I heard the voice. And it was amazing that we could see what God was going to do by confirming his word. And I love what you were saying earlier about, you know, that persuaded over my mental attitude is not emotional. It is mentally convinced by the objectivity of the word of God, the promises of the Bible. The word of God is true. It's forever settled in heaven. I can trust it and I can rely upon it. And when I get tested by many adversities, well, I just default to the fact that I believe it'll be even as it was said.
Are there things up there that you can read that I can't? I'm sure there are.
Well, there's Tess who says she was with Manny and the team. Glenn Burney last night for soul winning, and the door was wide open. People were receptive. Thanks be to God for divine
Glenn
appointments.
Burney.
Yes, okay. And hey, here we go. Pastor Chris in Malawi, God bless you. You are on the Grace Hour. Here he comes.
Hey, hello?
Wow, yes, we hear you.
Are you persuaded about Africa?
What about Africa?
Are you persuaded about Africa?
Oh, very persuaded.
How many years have you been in Africa now?
10 years in Malawi and 5 years in Zambia.
So and then how many years in Hungary?
Three and a half years in Hungary.
Well, we ripped you right out of Europe, didn't we?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we got you there, and then you're there. It's I love it because it's a family mission. Mm. It's you and your wife and your children, and they're on a mission to Malawi, and God knows what happens next. I think you're praying about what to do next, another African country, a time here in Baltimore, whatever God puts on your heart, and we trust it. And that's amazing. Being persuaded. And you're persuaded now?
Yes, very persuaded.
And you've got great Malawian leaders now, too, right?
Yeah, it's amazing. They're persuaded, too. The same way, just listening to messages from Baltimore and the old ABDs of Dr. Stevens, hearing good sound doctrine, they get persuaded.
You know what happened? And, some people in the AV department had asked me about bringing back, because we have a lot of stuff that goes all the way back into the 70s in Africa. You know, the ABD classes and the videos. And I said, I'm not bringing nothing back.
Oh,
no, man. You want to get them? You come over there and video. you come over there and tape them and whatnot, but they're not coming back. They're persuaded. Those tapes are persuaded to stay in Africa.
Is that right? They got a seal on them.
They got a seal on them. So, so tell us maybe your thoughts about other parts of Southern Africa.
Yeah, We've done about two or three trips to Namibia. It's in Southern Africa, but on the other side of Southern Africa, on the western coast. And it's also a great open door. People are very open. We did last time we were there, which was back in May, we did Bible studies for 8 days straight. We were there for like 8 days. And then every night we had a study, and it started to grow, starting with like 10 people, and then it went to close to 20.
Wow.
And we're in touch with the people there. In this day and age, we have technology. We can use it to our advantage. So we're doing like a Zoom meeting with some of the people that were at the Bible study every month. And they're just hungry for Bible teaching. And that's what's missing. People are persuaded in a lot of things that are not the gospel and they're not the word of God. And there's a vacuum for it. And people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
And they need to hear, they need the doctrine, the word of God. Yeah.
You know, Pastor Chris, it's amazing that you're saying that, pertaining to the continent of Africa, but it's true here in America. I mean, there are people who are so busy doing ministry apart from the word of God and apart from categorical doctrine. Teaching is like, you know, has been marginalized, and so the whole thing has been more on the entertainment level, you know, to get people to come in the door and to, you know, have some sort of experience. But when you sit down and you start teaching people and they get hungry for the word of God, that's how a man or a woman gets persuaded.
How about the difference between word of God disciples and entertainment disciples?
No such thing as
entertainment. I want to be
disciples.
Entertained by the church. I want to go in and have a clown on stage and have some music, and we love
smoke
music.
Smoke and mirrors
and all kinds of things popping up out of the off the floor. They just pop up and go back down and whatnot, so I can go home. And by the way, they're trying to compete with the entertainment world.
It's true.
And we're not supposed to compete with them because they've been crucified.
Amen.
You don't compete with something dead.
Wow.
Anyway, Pastor Chris, how about persuasion? Like, you were persuaded to bring your family on the mission field.
Yeah, I mean, we saw you and you know, your son is one of my best friends. And just hearing his stories and saying, well, you know, we can do it. We can be on the mission field with our family, and it's like one of the greatest secrets for our family. We are together. We're together in the ministry, and my kids are growing up and being part of the work too. And it's just a great blessing.
Wow.
So it's like one of the world's best kept secrets of how good it is for our family to be on missions. And maybe that means just doing like a short-term missions trip with your family instead of going on a family vacation. Do a family vacation.
Well, now you're hitting home, baby.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, your family vacation can be in Malawi.
family vacation
could be in, you know, Eastern Europe or South America or somewhere. You're right. You know what? And to me, what people use money for is amazing to me. You know, how they use and misuse money when they could be using money for some incredible things to promote the kingdom of God, you know. But it's sad because there's been this entertainment philosophy in Christianity, and it's all about, you know, it's a self-centered thing. And missions, by the way, you know, as far as missions, when there used to be an incredible amount of missionaries, I think somebody once said 70,000 a year were being sent out from America.
From the States,
yeah. And now it's like down in the tens or teens of thousands. So something's taken place. You know what's happened? There's been a satanic persuading. Satan uses the world and the flesh and persuades people out of the call of God. And that's amazing.
That is too hard to go. And, you know, Pastor Chris, you are a contradiction to that. You know, the best kept secret is that not only can this be done, and, you know, if we think about it, thank you, Lord, that we are in a worldwide ministry. And I wouldn't go to Malawi, you know, just to kind of, you know, put around and say that I went. I would want to go because the body of Christ is there. There's a ministry there. There's a vision there. And there's a work of God that goes on. And so if we were to think of all of the different places that God is working around the world, and that we know people that are there, we can go and have an incredible time. You know, it wouldn't be a vacation. It would be a celebration to really see that all that what God is doing is available to us.
I like that Acts 15:26. They hazarded their lives for the gospel. Mm. And it connects very well with Philippians 2:25-30. Where Epaphroditus, did not regard his own life. And that's one of the big problems today is like, I regard my own life as something. As, you know, I might get sick. So what? You die and go to heaven. Whatever, you know. I mean, I know that sounds a little bit crazy, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like they hazarded their lives with the gospel. It was a risk getting on a boat and going to China or to Asia or to Africa for some of these men in the 1800s, guess what? The boat alone will kill you.
You know? Well, you know, they said that the Moravians would pack their belongings in a coffin.
Yeah.
You know, for the trip over, and you know, because that's part of the deal. And
we're on Moravia Park Drive. We're right
Park
where the
Drive.
Moravians were. We're right here on the same street. They're the Holy Spirit of the Moravians and the Holy Spirit are
It's in the soil.
There we go. Well, it's been great talking to you, and hope to see you soon. Never know.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for everything. We love you.
Amen.
God bless
Hallelujah.
You, Pastor Chris. Yeah, God bless you. Awesome. Well, you know, it's a matter of being persuaded individually, but, you know, thank God we can be persuaded corporately.
Yes.
Because as each of us have a portion, we encourage each other. And, you know, just like, you know, R.G. Campbell says, God bless Pastor Chris and family on the mission field.
Wow.
You know, it's that, you know, he didn't do it for everybody else. He did it in his persuasion for God. But notice how there's a collateral blessing that comes from your obedience and my obedience to the Great Commission. 1-800-338. We got just a few minutes left.
Oh, yeah.
7060 or 410-483-3700.
Question from the producer. Broadcast. Why did King Agrippa say this man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar, to Festus, and after completion of Paul's message? I think that was just God's plan for him to be able to testify before these individuals because of their authority and their power, and maybe there would be touched Festus and Felix and these different people. So bringing him before kings and authority. By the way, it was just a fulfillment of what he said he would do in Acts chapter 9. And God wanted them to come before these people because imagine if somebody like one a leader of a country or a leader in some community gets converted, his influence could be so widespread in that community or in that country when people get saved that are like there. I know that the president of one African country received Christ as the Savior, and he would just speak about God. He'd speak about God in meetings, you know, where you weren't supposed to speak about God, you know. And I remember an American president speaking in a place where I was, and he actually talked about the gospel and salvation. And that was amazing. It was George Bush.
George Bush Jr. Wow.
Junior. And he mentioned it about the gospel and his life being changed. So this is key. We have another caller? No?
Yes, we do. Let's, Harry, you can close out the broadcast if you have a question quickly.
It's finished.
Hello.
Yes, go right ahead.
Yes, thank you, pastors, for the awesome broadcast. Awesome. I was thinking about how God says, as soon as you hear, obey, in Psalm 18.
Mm-hmm.
Because broadcast is about, you know, better to obey God than men. There's so many voices of men and other doctrines in the world. And I just, wow, missions.
Amen.
Broad. Thank you.
God bless you. Beautiful. See you soon.
Thank you, Harry. Well, you know, I think that King Agrippa thought that Paul made a mistake by appealing to Caesar. He could have, you know, hey, you could have been free. You could have gone, you know, and done your thing. But no, you made this appeal, so we've got to send you through. But it wasn't a mistake.
No, it was God's plan.
It was exactly God's plan, and it got Paul where he was. So sometimes when we think that we make the wrong decisions or we make a commitment because of our persuasion, not because of our own personal advantage, that's not a mistake.
He said to him in the book of Acts, you must witness to me for me in Rome.
In Rome.
And so that was the plan.
Mm-hmm.
That was the plan. And they just kind of played their part in the plan. They just made it happen without even knowing it.
No,
you know?
They weren't.
And
they
maybe
know.
They just wanted, I want to deal with this man. Let's bring him on because maybe there's going to be trouble, you know?
Easily. Well, friends, thank you so much for being with us. We'll be back again Monday on the same time for another week of Broadcast Excellence. Hope that you can join us then. And until then, have a blessed weekend. Be sure to get out to hear the Word of God this weekend. And we'll see you then next time.